I've been watching a lot of Hollywood movies from the 40s and the 30s, which all appeared during times of incredible national crises. Some are like madcap comedies, which are kind of mindless, Bringing Up Baby, Night at the Opera. But a fair number of them have really brought me to tears. Was watching one of the old versions of Little Women with Elizabeth Taylor in it, Janet Leigh, and others. And I just found myself crying and crying. Yankee Doodle Dandy, Jimmy Cagney. Bringing Up Baby, I wasn't crying during that, but it's interesting to see how much people were trying to get out of their thought processes. The madness of things was so exhilarating in a way. Things that didn't make sense were funny. Think what brought me to tears more than anything else, and it was a kind of a running theme through many of these films, was acts of kindness. And you were seeing so many people being selfless, so many people caring for others more than themselves. And every time I saw an act of kindness, my heart would break. Because those years, the war years, the depression years were so hard for people. And most of us in our lives have never experienced anything like that until now. And it's really interesting to see who can rise to the occasion. In periods where we're so isolated, potentially self-absorbed, what about me? I, which comes very easily in a time of social isolation. But the idea of thinking about and caring about others, being truly thoughtful, is something you actually have to work at. And if the experience of meditation and spiritual growth are meant to be in any way demonstrated in the world, meaning other than just making you feel good, making you connect to source, helping you. If it's to be demonstrated, the simplest Hollywood version of that is be kind to others. Just simply find a way to be kind. And then begin to witness how often you don't want to be there, how much of an effort it takes, how you rather people be kind to you. But from a spiritual practice perspective, your ability to express kindness to another human being or multiples of human beings will be a sign to you of a kind of opening. Because you don't have to work at kindness after a certain point it occurs. Mostly kindness arises out of a spiritual core. It simply becomes something that expresses itself by itself. But if it doesn't, this is where spiritual work enters the picture. Spiritual work is the doing in order to get in touch with the being. If you start being kind to others, you will start digging yourself into the place from which that is a natural expression. That is the work of being human. And when you fail to be kind or don't take the opportunity to be kind, that's a flashpoint of awareness, of recognition of where your work needs to come in. Where are you so self-centered, egocentric, me, me, mine, that the opportunity to be kind causes you to get tense or to get angry or frustrated or, well, what about why aren't they kind to me kind of reaction? When that starts to happen, that's not to punish you. It's to make you aware that you have areas in yourself that are needy of work, that need to be altered, that need to be changed, that need to be evolved. And that's where you focus your attention. So when you start to feel that this is a moment where you could be kind or thoughtful or compassionate or considerate, there is a resistance to that, an obstructed moment. Take a breath. See it clearly, see yourself clearly, because you will not be seeing yourself in a good light, but see that. Take that breath and then change your behavior. Act kindly. Do the right thing. Do the good thing. Do the nice thing for someone. You might even be able to use acts of kindness not only for other people, but for yourself. There are times where you are not nice to yourself, where you are not good to yourself, you are not kind, where you are sometimes brutal and discomforting to who you are. That can come up a lot in times of global stress and personal stress, especially when it's combined, when the atmospheric reality is so conflicted and stressful that you begin to feel that as though it's your own, when in fact, it's a cosmic connection to everyone, universal consciousness, collective unconsciousness. When all of that is working, you may find voices that are not nice to you. Perfect time to sit down, get quiet, take a breath, go inside, and try to focus on your heart and feel some kind of warmth. It doesn't have to be for you. In fact, that's a good moment to feel warmth for others. But who will benefit from that warmth for others? You will. When you are kind to someone else or to yourself, that mushrooms into kindness that goes inward and outward simultaneously. Everybody benefits. It may not sound like the core of a spiritual practice, but it is. It's such a simple mechanism. It's such a simple way of grading your capacity as a person in the spiritual realm. I remember a walk with Rudy. I've talked about it a lot, but it was so valuable to me. We were walking down the street, and there was some garbage on the street. And he bent down, and he picked it up, and he walked to the next wastebasket, and he dropped it in. I just looked at him like, wow. Why was he being the garbage man? Why did he do that? I had not thought to pick it up. It was in front of me as well. And Rudy looked at me and said, if it's in front of you, it's yours. If it's in front of you, it's yours. If something is in front of you and you feel conflicted with it, unkind, thoughtless, uninvolved, and it's in front of you, you are not engaged in a spiritual way. You are blind to the opportunity of the moment. What is that opportunity? Be kind. It's really interesting because now when we go out, we're all wearing masks and we're hidden, which gives us a real opportunity to not be seen, to be invisible in the world. And we can't see smiles. We can't see the kindness being expressed from the face. I'll tell you though, last night I saw a governor talking and a woman behind him who was doing sign language for people. And her mask was plastic around her mouth so she could lip sync what he was saying. And I thought, well, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. Why don't we all have masks that are plastic and we can see the smiles? Why? Because smiles are expressions of kindness. They're simple. You see someone smile and you feel good. It's a kindly moment. It's a transmission of something wonderful. So in lieu of getting masks that have plastic, and I hope somebody starts to sell them, what can we do to express our kindness? Yes, you can look at people kindly, but they don't pick that up. But you can do things. It's how you behave. It's how you speak. It's how you reach out in physical ways, in demonstrable ways where you can actually, if someone drops something, bend down to pick it up for them, help somebody do something. Of course, in times of social distancing, that's not so easy. But what are the things you can do? I've talked about this in the past. Reach out, call, write, feel, and send kind thoughts to others. That may seem like a waste of time on some level because, you know, how are people going to know that you're doing that? Trust me, it goes out there. It fills the vacuum. It fills the space. I was lying in bed the other night and we have spent way too much on our house. and the contractor came over the other day to show us how much we have gone over our original budget. And I like this guy so much. He's such a, my son Josh calls him a concierge contractor. He's the nicest guy in the world. And everyone who works for him is angelic. On the other hand, he charges a fortune. And I suddenly saw the man, and I really, nothing in me reacted. It just went, okay. But in the middle of the night, all of a sudden, I thought, oh my God, this is a lot that we've overspent. And what have we done? And why have we done that? And all the voices that come into people in their middle of the night or sometimes during the day experience. And I was overcome with kind of a mortification that I had given myself over to such expansion and so much expense. And I didn't know what to do. I couldn't sleep. And I used this idea of kindness. And I lay down on my back and I just started breathing into the system and started saying, these thoughts are not going to provoke anything but discomfort, lots of discomfort. There's no reason to have that measure of discomfort. You don't have to do that. You don't have to go there. But you're going to have to do the work to clear it out, especially if you're going to go back to sleep, which was a very big desirable outcome. So I just laid there and I started doing the work. And I started going into my heart. I went into my throat. I went into my third eye chakra, I went into my navel. I started doing hand movements. And I started putting my hands over my heart, touching, feeling, putting my hands together. I started reaching out and I started conducting a class. In a way, it was a class for me, but it was also a class in a way for everybody. And as I laid there, sending out all of this blanket of love and care and compassion and something that was overcoming the noise of the mind, I found myself in this exquisitely beautiful space of going aso. Now, I've talked about aso many times in these classes because it's a Zen teaching about like a monk who just goes aso all the time to whatever is happening. And it's a simple phrase, but you know, he could be given $1 million, he goes aso. He could have $1 million taken away from him, aso. Whatever it was just okay. Allow, accept, it's okay. And in a way, I brought myself into a deep moment of aso. You know, what's the worst that can happen? I'll take my house away. You know, Blanche and I will be somewhere, I don't know where, in an apartment. You know, we have to get rid of everything we have if things got really terrible. I don't think that's happening, by the way. But if that were to happen, the lesson of aso, because the great teaching is they're going to take it all away. They are taking it all away from all of us. Every ounce of what we have, everything that brings us pleasure and joy, everything we've worked for, every bit of reputation, every bit of our story and our history, good and bad, is all going to be taken away. And the only thing that will be left is a memory of, or an indelible imprint, if you will, of the kindness that you showed to the world. That is what stays behind. Trust me, you may not believe that. But the kindness that you put out there, no matter what the choices you made, right or wrong, good or bad, no matter what's coming to haunt you, sit down, do the work, open your heart, be kind to others, be kind to yourself, and watch what happens. You can literally experience being kind to yourself in the same way that you can experience being kind to others. The opportunity arises all the time for all of us to do that. And if you do the work, you know, which in our practice is take a breath, open your heart, ask for help to surrender, and feel this thing inside us. What is that thing? The word that I keep using in the last weeks or so, and certainly in the past, is source, the source. I don't know what that source is. And I know I say this week after week, so forgive me, you can all turn off your computers now if you want, but source to me has one fundamental element, actually three: love, beauty, truth. I say it endlessly, but I keep thinking of it. Somehow, out of whatever this nothingness is, out of this emptiness, out of this complete annihilation of all that could ever be, came love, beauty, and truth. And I look around me and I see beauty, I feel love, and I sense the truth of that. There are moments where the universe takes all of that away from me, and they are the worst moments, and I get them on a regular basis. They take everything away, and I am left in an empty, depleted state, and all I can do is sit there and know that somehow that nothingness created each of you. And all I have to do is think about you guys, truly. And I can tell you, each one of you individually, I can think of you, and I do. And my heart goes, and I experience gratitude. I don't know how you guys arrived in my life. I don't know how we came together in this lifetime, but we have. And there is a beauty in that. And there is love in that, and there is truth in that. And all I have to do is take this crazy mind and focus it on that, and know that out of source, whatever source is, you emerged. And I am, to this second, profoundly grateful for each and every one of you. Not more one than the other, because when I sit down and I sit with each of you, and I go into my depth, which leads me towards source, when I go there, the love I feel for each of you is completely real and full, It's not measured by this person and that person. It is just a dynamic expression of love. And all I want to do in that love is be kind to you. I just want to be kind. I want to experience a compassion for you. And trust me, whenever I go into any of you or sit with you, in a way, your whole life story comes into me. Those of you I know better, there's more detail, but the whole feel of it comes into me. And all I do is embrace it. And I go, I get it. I know how much you go through. I know what your life is. I know how hard it is. I know where the love is. I know where the beauty is. I really, really get you. And I feel for you. And I'm so grateful I know you. That's what happens when I teach this class. And that's what I express to you. You guys, I don't think you're ever going to be hugged as deeply and as loved as profoundly as just sitting in this room, in this strange Zoom experience. Because it's Source reaching out and expressing its love, its beauty, and its truth. And I get it back. But whether I get it back from you or not is inconsequential on some level, because Source is passing through the system. Source is delivering. And Source is the source of kindness. It's true kindness, thoughtfulness, love, gentility, strong effort. It can punch me in the back. You know, I mean, there is work involved. And you know that work when you don't feel kind and you don't feel thoughtful and you don't feel like you want to reach out to somebody and be good to them. But if you can learn to do the work, you will be a good person. Goodness is another word, by the way, which resonates with kindness. Goodness is something you are, or you learn to become, and you learn to express. And when you learn to do that, this spiritual journey that you've been on for all of these years, and many of you here now for moving toward half a century, its outcome is not, oh my God, you're so spiritual, oh, you're so wonderful, you're so pure. Forget that. It isn't about that. It is about one thing. Are you kind? Are you kind? You can each answer that for yourself. You can find where you are and when you're not. When you're not, that's your practice. When you are, you're in touch. You're in Source. You're part of the Source. Because I think the Source wants to deliver kindness to everybody in the world, and it's trying all the time, but it needs conduits. And you are the conduit of kindness. You are the conduit of compassion. You are the thing that gives to others. That's what you are. And if you fail at that, then just work harder. Don't beat yourself up. That's when you work on yourself. Be kind to yourself. Then be kind to others. And you will be of such service to this world. And here we are in the worst pandemic of our lives, in our life. And what do we do? Well, we learn to be kind to each other. My screen just popped up and made all of you very small. Now you're back. Anyway, I'll take that as an end point. I don't have anything else to say about this. All I can say, again, is it's in your hands. You can have a teacher reminding you. You can read 1,000 books that kind of tell you. You can watch Hollywood movies from the 30s and 40s, which will push that button, you know. But the button is so simple, so simple. Be kind. Okay. Any questions about? It's pretty simple. Are there any questions at all, George?
You're becoming the Dalai Lama.
That's
his message, and yours too. You're a Bodhisattva at this point, Bruce. Thank you.
I think I've said this before. Forgive me because I repeat myself so often. But I used to dismiss the Dalai Lama because his message was so simplistic. And his message was completely compassion. I have now learned that that's the message. So, you know, it's so funny. The Dalai Lama offered to be my teacher when I was a kid. And I turned him down. I was in Dharamsala in his it was a bungalow really, but I guess it was the palace where he lived. And I told him I was looking for a teacher, and he said, well, I can teach you. I would be happy to be your teacher. And all I could feel was, yikes, I don't think he's my teacher. It felt too simplistic and too simple-minded, and I didn't say it. So I said, look, would you mind if I keep on my journey to find my teacher? And if I don't find him, can I come back? He said, sure. He was the first person ever to do that. Other people said, what do you mean? I'm your teacher. You don't take me now, you don't get me. You know, I literally had that. I can name names, but
you had to wait to meet a Jewish guy from Brooklyn.
Yeah, I had to meet a Jewish guy from Brooklyn who led me back to the Dalai Lama, and now everyone's my teacher. Source includes everybody. There's nobody who isn't part of the teaching. But arriving at simplicity, which really is, I think, this teaching of compassion and kindness, it's what it is. And I don't know what more to teach. There's transcendence of all of this, but that's all going back into the source from which this comes. And we all come from there. We're all heading back to that. And I will tell you, you can go back to that in fullness and in emptiness, and who knows what you'll get. But all I can tell you is, while you're here in this enormous expression of life, this amazing thing called life, be the conduit for that simple message. That's all we have to do. That's it. You know, you pull that off, you've done it. You've done the work. You are a source. You are a conduit for source in the world. And that's all we're being asked to do, really. Day by day, minute to minute. George?
I just want to say that I've been listening to the Dalai Lama has a new music record out with mantras. And you can get it on YouTube or Spotify. And it's just a wonderful sort of bodhisattva thing to listen to. So,
thank you.
It's called Inner World, I believe.
Anybody else? Charlene. You're on mute, honey. I can't hear you.
Gotcha. Okay. This is very appropriate, perfect for today, because there are a number of people I've been calling and checking up on regularly. And I thought, well, let's just see what happens if I don't call them for a week. They didn't call me. So I had a day of going, they didn't call me. And now I'm just, okay, fine. I guess it's me. I'll call them. Doesn't matter.
It's that simple, ultimately. If you're not shown kindness by somebody else, show it for them.
Yeah.
Really works. It's hard to express how meaningful it really is and how easy it really is and how resistant to it we are. Because there's that egocentric thing that wants it for ourselves. Mm-hmm. And the only real way to get it, and I don't mean to be selfish about it, but the only real way to get it is to give it.
Yeah.
It's really, really important.
And it is true that you better to give than to receive. It is true that you feel better when you give.
Right. Of course, if you do it for that reason, it gets a little complicated, but still better than not.
Yeah.
I heard a line last week, teachers teach what they need to learn.
Yeah.
It's a really interesting line. And I find that some people have told me, why don't you listen to your own talks? Like my wife Blanche, you know, why don't you listen to your own talks? Well, I have. And I go, oh, interesting. I have no recollection of saying most of it. And I feel in many ways the beneficiary of some of those old talks. And even of this, you know, I learn it as I give it, and it comes back to me when I need it. And we're all here for the same thing. We give the thing we need to learn, and we are the thing we need to learn. And at the same time, we are the teachers. So be the teacher, be the conduit, be the expression, and it'll come back. You'll learn it as you do it. It's really incredible.
Bruce, can I say one other thing?
Sure.
I just want to express my gratitude because you are a great communicator and you say things more clearly than most other people. And thank you. Okay.
Thank you, George. I mean, you know, I don't know that I was always a good communicator. I don't know where it comes from. This is the 30th, this last Friday was the 30th anniversary of Ghost, you know, appearing in the world as a movie. And I realized I was given a gift to create that. I don't know where it came from, but I paid attention and I did it. And I'd spent all those years building up to it. I didn't have a career until I was in my 40s. I never gave up. I persisted. Those are all the things one needs to do. And one of the gifts that I was given and learned to use was how to write or how to talk, you know, and that's really something. Everyone gets a different gift. People have other gifts that have nothing to do with speech, have everything to do with the way you open a can for somebody or pour a glass of water for somebody. It can be that simple. And when you find your gift and use it, whatever it may be, and we all have them, we all do. And mostly you'll find it when you're nice to somebody. Thanks, George. Thank you.
Bruce?
Somebody else?
It's Jenna. Just something came up, and I hate to make something less complicated, less simple than it is, but could you talk about, is there a place for the old adage, cruel to be kind? Like maybe sometimes to be true to somebody may be more kind than to be kind. Is there a place for that?
Absolutely. Yeah. By the way, I can't see you. I have a picture of a dog. I don't know why. Kindness, a true act of kindness, may sometimes be speaking truth, withholding something. I mean, yes, there are complicated ways to be kind to people, but sometimes tough love, as they call it, tough kindness is the right way to go. But if it's done with a deeply open heart and with a great deal of consciousness, you will serve the other person and you will express compassion to them in the midst of withholding or speaking truth or making them less than happy with what you have to say. It is something that one can learn, but it's a complicated arena, and I would not jump into that too quickly. Unless you're really gifted at expressing kindness through truth and withholding or whatever it may be, don't rush into that, because I think for many people, they take advantage of thinking of they're being kind by saying something when in fact they're being punishing. And you have to look at really what's the real source, the real clarity of what's happening. Kindness will flow without any kind of interpretive sort of feeling about should I do it, should I not do it. It'll be a natural expression, not a controlling expression. So you have to learn the difference. That's more evolution. But right at this point, I'm trying to give you the simplest of versions, which is just be nice. Just be nice. Okay, I think that's enough. We'll be back in LA in a month. These talks will be posted every week if you need or want to hear them. I think they're getting pretty redundant on some level, but you know they do come from the moment. And I say, the moment is everything. The moment is alive. This moment is real. And as one can rise from the moment into the space around us, we become an embodiment of the moment, and it's very vibrant and alive. So that's the only real value of these talks, even though you've heard them 1,000 times, they're imbued with the energy of right now. So they're always available online, and I'll be back in LA and to see you guys in 4 weeks. I really, really, really love you. And I mean that to each of you very, very specifically. So thank you for showing up today. I look forward to hearing from you or seeing you or however that works. But I was quite grateful you're here today.